We're going to start this morning on Daf Yud Amud Beis 10b, smack in the middle of the page, just as we're going to begin the wide lines. That's where we're going to be over here. As you see, okay, it's the line before the wide lines. Oh, it just jumped back on me. Hello? Oh, come on. We'll go back a little. Chafti. It's going on the words of the Mishnah. Chafti b'tashlume nisko. Okay, the last skinny line before the wide lines.
What are we? 10B.
10B.
10B3?
Could be. That's going to warm up a little also. Baruch Hashem. All right. So this Gemara is a nice, sweet Gemara. It's not going to give you any headaches. I hope. We'll see. When I prepared it, it didn't look so bad. All right. We're going over a line of the Mishnah again. The words, Chafti b'tashlume chefel. I am obliged in the payment of its damage. Now, we've already been analyzing a few lines. We're on the second clause where we already analyzed if I prepared part of the damage, then I've prepared all of the damage. But if you look carefully, that's not what the Mishnah says. It doesn't say I prepared all the damage. It says I'm obliged to all the payment of the damage. It should be right at the end. Right there. Okay? So look, Gemara's going to really be very picky. Exactly what the words of the Mishnah say. If I prepared part of the damage, now look at the three words. Chafti b'tashlume nisko, which means I'm obligated in the payment of his damage. It didn't say I'm obligated for the damage. It could have said I'm obligated for the damage. If I prepared part of the damage, I'm obligated for the damage. Didn't say for the damage. It added the word for the payment of the damage. Now, if I say I'm obligated for the damage, isn't obvious I'm obligated for the payment of the damage? So why do I got to say the payment of the damage? What else am I obligated for? The kissing goodbye of the damage? You're obligated for the payment of the damage.
So that's the central issue?
No. The central issue is going to be, as we'll see in a moment, I didn't write it yet. That's surprising. Why wouldn't I have written it? Wait a minute. Hang on.
Suga 4.
Okay, I don't know. I thought I wrote it.
Did you put it in another file?
Yeah.
Let me look. Let me just double check. Maybe I didn't. I thought I did. Yeah, I did. Huh? Okay. Central issue. That was the old copy. I always start on another sheet, then I bring it over. Central issue. When an animal gets killed, let's say of an ox. Let's say an ox gores another ox, and the ox is dead. Let's say the ox is worth $100. So I got to pay him $100, right? But the carcass of the animal is worth something. The animal's worth $100. Let's say a dead animal, the carcass, you could use the skins to make a coat, whatever. Fats, oil, clay. Let's say the carcass is worth $25. Okay, now my animal damaged your animal. Now, your animal was worth $100, was walking alive. Now, you got to work. There's a carcass worth $25. Here's the question. How is the $100 payment done?
I would assume
it's... Is it that you're the owner, you got the carcass, you got $25 worth of carcass, and I pay you $75 because that's the loss I gave you. You had something that's worth $100, now it's only worth $25, and now I only have to give you $75 because you got the carcass. Or do we say no? I'm the damager, I get the carcass, I have to give you back $100, and then you can now buy a brand new couch straight with $100. Who gets the carcass? How do I finalize the payment? What is that damage actually? Is it $75 of damage? Is it $100 worth of damage? How do I pay it back? Okay, now, think about it, guys. Let's without doing any, the more it's going to bring proofs. Forget about the proofs. Think about it. How are, up to this point in the game, how can I pay back damages I do to you? Give me all the ways I can lechatchila, as a machlokas, but what are the ways I can pay you back?
Cash.
What else can I pay you back?
Meitav.
Meitav, which is land. What else can I pay you back?
With metaltalin.
With movable objects, like such as?
Barley.
Bran.
Bran.
I can give you bran. Now,
especially
you want to get bran from me?
Well, I can if you're constipated.
I can give you bran, can't I? I can give you bran. I give you $100 worth of bran. Let's say I damage your ox now. I could give you $100 worth of bran, couldn't I?
Yeah, sure could.
Okay, now why can't I give you $25 worth of carcass? Could I give you $25 worth of bran and $75 cash?
Yeah.
For sure.
That's possible.
For sure.
I could give you
$25 worth of, I give you $100 worth of anything that you could sell.
Yeah.
Now, if we say the carcass is worth $25, it means it's worth $25.
Right.
Means you can go to the local tanner or whoever, I don't know, and he'll give you $25 for that carcass. Right? So, let's say I just turned around and said, okay, you give me the carcass, I give you the carcass back.
Right.
I'm paying you $25 worth of carcass plus $75 of land or bran, or maybe I found three other carcasses and I give you four carcasses. I am paying you back with something that is easily redeemable for cash.
Is it assumed that the carcass is easily redeemable?
It is, or it's not worth $25.
Well.
It's just like the brand. If I can't go, in those days, everybody bought and sold. It wasn't, you had to go only to Loblaws and Kmart and Walmart. Everybody sells. You know, everybody sold things, everybody. We already know I can give you bran.
Doesn't the Torah say the carcass shall be his or something?
Ah, what does his mean? Who is he? Who is his? We'll have
to
see.
The guy who did the damage.
We'll have to see.
That's your interpretation.
Oh, we'll have to see. Okay, you're bringing up an issue. We'll have to see what it means. But forget about Pesuk. I'm just talking logically now. Just from all the information we know until now.
Well, based on that, you would think that $75 would be sufficient based on that.
Well, because let's put it this way. If you say with $100, okay, you want me to have the carcass? Fine, give me the carcass. Guess what? I'm just going to give it back to you.
Right.
As part of the payment. So, based on at least our understanding of payment up to this point, the carcass might as well just remain with the one who's the victim. That's from the logical point of view, from what we know. Would you agree, Martin?
I agree.
Now, Gemara is going to discuss this issue. And they're going to discuss it based on the inference of the words of the Mishnah. So let's begin again. So we're looking at those clause in our Mishnah that says, if I prepared part of the damage, chafti v'tashlume nisko, I am obligated in the payment of his damage. So now, the Gemara makes the following implication of the words. I'm going to make a little bit wider line now. Chafti benisko lo ketani. The Mishnah did not say, I am obligated for his damage. What did it say? I am obligated for payment. Well, what's wrong with saying I'm obligated for the damage? What would have been wrong with that? Why do you say I'm obligated for the payment? Rashi says, benisko lo ketani. It doesn't say that I'm obligated for the damage. Dilahavi mashma, that would have implied, if it would have written I'm obligated for the damage, that would have implied, shiashlim shor gomor chai, I have to give him back a brand new living ox. For who yitos an avail, and the damager takes the carcass. If it would have said, I'm obliged for the damage. But it didn't say I'm obliged for the damage. I'm obliged for the payment. And the Gemara therefore implies, I'm obliged to pay, but I'm not obliged strictly only for the damage. So let's look in footnote, and therefore it says, Ella, but, since it wrote it the way it wrote it, it's bitashlume nisko. I'm obliged, it says I'm obliged in the payment of his damage. And what does that mean? And let's look at footnote 20. Let's try to look at footnote 20. The word tashlume is related to the word hashlama. You see, the root, tashlum, shalem. Tashlum means payment, but hashlama means completion, to complete it, to finish it up, make it whole. By couching the statement of liability to include the word tashlume, the Mishnah teaches that the damager need only complete the injured party's indemnification. That is, the latter, the damagee, retains the carcass, and the damager pays in the difference in the animal's worth while alive and the carcass's value. Because the Mishnah says, I pay for the damage, I pay for the payment. I'm obligated for the payment. And the word payment is written as finishing it up. I'm obligated to finish it up. You hear by the way it worded it. Now, there was a Rashi there, so let me come back to that pop-up Rashi. Ela but hashlumenisko, the mashma that appears hashlama, to finish it up. Sheyitel nizik as an avela, the damagee takes the carcass. Vizeh, right. And the damager mashma, you finish it up. Masha pachas numisa, that which it went down in value through its death. You hear? The Mishnah could have said, "I'm obliged to for the damage." Obliged for the damage, could that mean I got to pay the whole damage? Well, it says I'm obliged to pay. And the word payment was written in a way to finish off the payment, meaning to say that the carcass is still his, so what I made less value, I gotta fill up what I made less value, so I'm only gonna pay the 75, and the owner keeps the carcass. That's from the implication. You hear clear the implication of the Mishnah? So that's what the Mishnah, Gemara says, that's implied in the Mishnah. By looking at the Mishnah, we can figure it out that way. One's going to take the next step and say, and you know what? It's an explicit brisa. An explicit brisa looks at this Mishnah and says this exactly. And that's the next point, just proving the point. Tanina laha.
Sorry, couldn't you say the same, come to the same conclusion just by saying payment of the damage is the net damage, which is
they're saying in the carcass? You're saying a lot of words. He's saying it in three words. You're right, but that's a lot of words. I understand, but that's a lot of words. The Mishnah's cryptic, right? It's the least amount of words possible. You did it in three words. Three words. I have to pay, I'm obliged to pay payment for the damage, which means the payment, the finishing up. In three words, it said what you said in eight words. That's the genius of the rabbis. They try to make it as little words as possible. Yeah, you're doing it clear. So the brisa comes along. Brisa, you know, was not put in Mishnah because they used a lot of words. So now we're going to show you a brisa that's using more words the way Shelley would like to say it. And that's the way the brisa is talking. That's the way it is. Rabbi, the brisa.
Just before we look.
Yeah?
To me, the difference between those two situations is one of inconvenience, right? So the damager could have been negligent. Nonetheless, he's inconvenienced now
How about when I give you a brand?
What's that?
How about when I give you a brand? I don't want the brand.
Yeah.
I got to go to the store now and sell the brand.
Yeah, it's true.
But that's what the Torah says. Torah says explicitly, you can return anything. That's what we learned from Apostle God. That's what God says. In other words, what does the Torah feel? You know, you got to make it a little easier on the guy to pay it off, because that way he'll be more likely to get the money.
Yeah, we want to get the payment in there. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You're right. In a perfect world,
somebody backs into your car. You got a headache. You got to go get two estimates.
At the end of the day, the guy who gets damaged, it's his bad mazel. Yeah, a sport will just write it. Whatever. What's he going to give you? He damaged your ox. What do you really want?
An ox.
Yeah. Well, nobody says you have to give him an ox. Give him money. So where did the money help? Yeah. I still got to go to the ox store and buy the ox. So that's one step. The brand store, well, even the brand, I could buy an ox with brand. Right? So that Torah, we already learned that the guy's inconvenienced. You're right. But we'll see this becomes a part of the logic in which we work with. Anyway, so now we bring up Brisa that says exactly, explicitly in many more words, what we just deduced from the Mishnah. And this is the classic four words that you should try to remember this idiom. Tanina laha detana rabbanan. That's a four word idiom that is used very often. Tanina laha, we have stated in the Mishnah, in other words, we deduced from the Mishnah, the Tana Rabbanan, that which the rabbis taught explicitly in a brisa. We just deduced from that line, we pulled it out, And now, that's right, but a Braisa really said it overtly, which is, the Braisa analyzed the Mishnah's two words. The Braisa looked at the two words of the Mishnah, Tashlume Nezek, you pay the payment for the damage, obliged for the payment. And there Rashi again pops up and says, Lashon Hashlam, an expression of pain, finishing it up. Mashlam Lo Nezek, you finish the damage. What does that mean? Melame teaches us, Shehabalim, that the owner of the ox, the damagee, Mitaplim bin Avela, has to deal with the carcass. Rashi, Klomar, meaning to say, Noklin es hanavela, takes the carcass. Finished. Now, so we have the Gemara's implication from the Mishnah, and we've also said there's a Braisa that explicitly explains the Mishnah this way. So that's clear, the law. The law is that the damagee is stuck with the carcass. Now, what the Gemara is going to ask is, what's the biblical proof to this? Now, to my mind, it's a little bit mind-boggling, because I thought we already dealt with the issue the way we discussed it before we started. But for whatever reason, Gemara is going to say no. And the Gemara is now going to bring three different proofs to this fact that the damagee gets the carcass. Three separate proofs. Proof number one. Let's see how far we can go today. And that's the question. Minohani mili. Another idiom. Minohani mili. From where did the Tana, the Mishnah, derive this law? That we deduced it from the Mishnah. The Braisa explained it even more clearly in the Mishnah. Where did the Tana get the, what was the basis? What pasuk? Where is he getting this from? So Omar Ravami. Ravami says the following answer. Okay, let me just, 1 second, get to my notes over here. And it's interesting, the commentaries don't ask on this question. I would have asked the question. I would ask the question right now. I'd say, what do you mean, where you learned it from? We learned it from pages ago. The Torah says, I give him bran. If I give him bran, why can't I give him a carcass? I don't know why the Gemara, you know, is bothered with a question. I'll be honest. We if I can give you bran, how come I can't give you, I can't make you keep the carcass? Anyway, the Gemara is still looking for other proofs. I don't know why. It'll be my question. You heard my question, Martin?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to see now, we're going to bring psukim that don't seem to be relating to what we already talked about. But okay, fine. So, answer number one. Amar Raviyami. Raviyami gives the first answer to Omar Kra, because there's a text that says the following. Okay, and let's jump to Leviticus 24:18. This is a fast app. I don't have to wait long. Okay.
Is that a free one too?
No, this one's not. This is a couple bucks.
Which one is this?
I have to look again.
Let me know.
Is this the Torah?
It's not an expensive. It's not as expensive as the iTorah.
Oh.
This doesn't have, it has less than I Torah has. Okay, anyway, let's look at verse 18. Okay. Umake nefesh behema yishalmenu. And he who kills a beast, yishalmenu. He shall make it good. Again, the English is giving us a funny translation to the word yishalmenu.
Right.
Nefesh nechtachas nefesh, a beast for a beast. Anyway, we're talking about here, the pasuk before talked about a person who kills a person. Here, a person kills an animal. He got mad at an ox, whatever. The ox was in the way. He shot the ox. Please, I don't know. He kills an ox.
It happens.
A human kills an ox. It happens. You know, whatever. I kill an ox. Maybe I wasn't careful. I ran it over. Please, I don't know. But anyway, a human being kills an ox. What's the word the Torah uses for the payment? Yishalmenu. Again, that word to using payment as to kind of fill it up, as it were. Okay, so he says, yishalmenu. So now, the word yishalmenu, we're going to see how the rabbis are going to deduce this now. But that's the text. So, again, Amar Avami, Domar Kra, because the pasuk says, Make nefesh, we just read the pasuk, Behema yishalmenu. If a person kills the soul of an animal, yishalmenu, he has to pay for it. So the rabbis say the words yishalmenu, don't only read it Al tikri yishalmena. Don't read it only with the reading yishalmena. Ella, but rather read it as yashlimena. Very, sounds very much the same. What is yashlim? Yash means to complete it. Don't read it merely to pay for it, but read it to mean you complete it. Look at what we have on the commentary, which teaches that the damager need only complete the injured party's indemnifications, since it's the latter who is burdened with having to sell the carcass. Rashi yashlimena, mashmashi yashlim hamosar. You finish off, you pay off, you complete that which is left over that has to pay. Let's look at footnote 25. To explain further, because the question, how does Gemara do that? Don't read it this way, read it that way. But it says this way. Right? So it's like this. Had the verse simply said the word, really the simplest word Jerusha should have said was yishalem. It says if you damage another guy's animal, what's the law? Yishalem. Yishalem means he shall pay. As it does in other places. Here's the point. You have to look in other places of Torah. When a person digs a pit, all right, let's go to that. Exodus 21:34. Look over here. Guy digs a pit, an animal falls in. It says, Baal HaBor what? Yishalem. That is appropriate, proper Hebrew language. Yishalem means he, the yud prefix, he shall, shalem, pay for it. He shall pay. The literal translation, exact words, Baal HaBor, the owner of the pit, yishalem, he shall pay. That is the correct Hebrew that's spoken. This is the correct pasuk. Yishalem is exactly the way in Hebrew it should be said. But what did we have by our case? When the man kills the ox, it doesn't say yishalem, which would be the proper. It says yishalmeno. Yishalmeno. What's that meno doing over here? That's an extra suffix over there. So what's that suffix doing? So let's go again. Over there it said in Exodus 24 with reference to one who digs a pit. So if the verse would have simply said that, we would not deviate from the plain meaning that the damager must pay for a replacement for the animal. Normally, yishalem means you gotta pay to replace it. Here, however, scripture states, yishalmeno, he shall pay it. See that extra two letters? Yishalmeno means you shall pay it. What's the it? I mean, obviously you're paying, which implies the damager must pay the stricken animal itself to its owner after restoring it to its original condition. Inasmuch as this prescription of damages is patently impossible to fulfill, because you can't pay it, since the verse speaks of where the stricken animal has died, right? How do you pay it? Again, go back. What does the word really mean? He shall pay it. It means that the damage shall pay the stricken animal itself. You pay it itself to its owner. Well, you can't do it because it's dead. The words don't make sense. Yishalmeno, you shall pay it. What do you mean you shall pay it? You damage the animal, you shall pay it. I can't pay it. So what do? The animal's already dead. So where yishalmeno cannot be answered literally, but is open to the interpretation of Master Rav Ami. It means that the Torah is trying to tell you something else. Yishalmeno means you shall fulfill it. You shall finish it off. The simple reading doesn't make sense. The exact translation makes no sense. God wrote it in a way to say, not, he shall pay, which would mean I just pay the whole thing. No, you shall pay it. What do you mean, it? So it's like yashli menu, you have to fulfill it and make up the full cost. So that's the source that when a person damages an kills an ox, don't read it yishalmena only, but yashlimena, I have to fulfill it. I have to finish it off because it's the value of the carcass plus what I finish off. And that, not like by a pit. Pit was written differently. Okay? So that's proof number one.
The literal translation, you shall pay it, means what? You should actually pay, go over and pay, would have had to go over and pay the cow? Like, what is the literal translation?
Again, look again. He shall pay it, which implies that the damager must pay the stricken animal itself to its owner. Meaning to say, you take the dead, literally, you take the dead cow, bring it back to life, and give it back to the owner. That's what the words would suggest. You pay it. I take the dead cow that's worth $200, hocus pocus, alamagocus, it's now a brand new animal, I pay it to the owner. Well, you can't do that. I can't do that. The words don't make sense. I can't pay it to the owner. It's not worth $100. So we have to say, for it, don't read it, pay it, but yashlimena, you finish it. That's we're forced. That's what the Torah's hinting we have to do. There's another way to translate the pasuk.
Because we can't do what it literally says, we have to say.
Look at something else.
We have to say, change what the dots. You have to change the dots. It's the same letters, but change the dots. You shall finish it off to the owner. You shall finish off the payment to the owner.
But you're adding a yud too.
But you could read it with a chaser without a yud. They're putting a yud to show you just how to read it, but it could be read without a yud. It's the same dots. But he's changing the dots in the same letters.
Same letters, different.
So don't read Yishal Meno, even though that's how you read it, but it must be read on a higher level as well. Okay, that's what the Torah is saying. So now you have a case where a man damaged a cow, killed an ox. The Torah is saying you got to finish off the difference.
But can't you say that the word Yishalem means, like in Hebrew, it
just Yishalem, but not Yishal Meno. That
but it means
that,
complete. It still means complete.
No, regular yishalem, we would say pay. Pay. That's the simple meaning. Look at the whole Torah. The word yishalem means he shall pay. Finished. He shall pay. Yet that, no, it. So now that made all kinds of problems with that it. It just doesn't make sense with that word it. Now the word yashlim. Yashlim means to finish off. So that's what the Gemara is deducing from that.
So what if it wasn't dead, it was broken? You broke its leg. Would that mean that you have to...
Well, that's a whole different set of laws.
Then
you have to, again, you repair the difference. You may have to sell the cow. Again, the animal's got to be worth something. What's it worth? What's an animal worth with a broken leg? What's it worth?
Maybe you have to repair it, get the leg repaired somehow.
Well, you don't pay for doctor bills. You say, what is this animal worth if you want to sell it now? $50? Okay, so I'll give you $50 to make up the difference. Now go sell the animal. Here's $50 and get $100. I'll get a new animal. Whatever the animal is worth, dead, alive, I don't care what it is. That's what it's worth. You could go to the store now and sell it and get that money and I'll pay the difference. That's proof number one. Let's do one more. Rav Kahana Amar, we're going to have a different place to bring a proof. Not from where a person kills an ox, but from a different scenario. And this one is... one second, let me find out where it's at. Give me a second.
Shmos
22:12. Okay, 22:12. Let's look what it says in Shmos 22:12. Where am I now? I don't remember where I'm at. I'm Exodus 22:12. Torah says, you are now a shomer. We're talking about a shomer sachar. What's a shomer sachar? A paid guardian. Okay? What does it say? Let's start from verse 11. It's familiar territory. Vim gonov yigonev mimo, and if it is stolen from the shomer sachar, what's the law? Yishalem libalov. He has to pay the owner. Shomer sachar has a higher level of responsibility. He has to pay if it gets stolen. But what about the following? Yud base. Here's the one we want now. Im tarof yitaref, if it is torn to pieces. Let's say a wolf came along and ripped the animal that shows that you were watching. Now that's already, I wasn't paid to fight with wolves.
Right.
You know, I'm paid to watch the animal, nobody steals, it doesn't get lost. A wolf coming along, that's what we call an ones, that's an accident. No shomer, I'm not getting paid enough to go fight with a wolf. You know, a wolf goes to rip sheds, that's what we call an ones, that's an accident. And a shomer sucker is not obliged in accidents. Okay? Now, what does it say? Im tarof yitaref yivi ehu aid. So, like this. The guy says, can I have my cow back? I'm really sorry. The animal got ripped off. Oh, really? Why should I believe you? Maybe you were negligent. Maybe it fell off a cliff and you just brought it back and you make it look like it's that, go bring a witness.
Okay.
The guy's got to bring, he has to bring a witness. We just don't believe him. They got ripped up. You got to bring a witness. So it says, Yivyehu Eid. He will bring a witness. When he brings a witness, then, Hatarefa Lo Yishalem. Trefa means the one that was ripped up. Literally, trefa, we say trefa means it's not kosher, but that's not really what it means. Trefa means animal that was killed to make it die, as opposed to getting shechted. When a wolf kills an animal, it's called a trefa. So he says, ha trefa lo yishalem. He shall not yishalem pay, and he shall not make good that which was torn. Simple meaning is you don't pay for it. That's a simple meaning. Right? So somehow from here, we're going to prove what we're trying to prove over here. Okay, but that's the pasuk. Again, the simple meaning is, im tarof yitaref, if it was ripped up, yivyeoe, let him bring a witness, witness will testify it's ripped up, and atrefa, and that animal that got ripped up, lo yishalem, he doesn't have to pay for that animal. That's the simple meaning of the text. But of course, nothing is so simple. That's the pasuk. Im tarof yitaref, Yivyehu Eid Hatrefa Lo Yishalem. That's the pasuk we just gave. So now, this is how the Gemara is going to interpret these words. Gonna interpret it like this. They're not gonna say the word Eid to mean witness, and you'll see why in a minute. They're gonna say the word Eid shall be changed to be understood as the word Ad, which means until. We'll have to see why. Ad Trefa Yishalem. He shall pay for all damage up until the value of the torn animal's carcass. Meaning, we'll have to see how he does this. Okay, it's a little magic he has to do here. We're changing the whole meaning of the pasuk. But let's just hear what he's trying to say, and then we'll have to...
Aid and ad, just the difference in the vowels?
Just the vowels. So aid means a witness, ad means up to. So he pays, so we instead of stopping the verse, he brings a witness, we just keep reading it to say, ad trefi yishalem, he pays up to the value of the torn animal's carcass, meaning to say the animal's carcass value is part of the payment, and pays beyond that. But trefa atzmo, but the carcass itself, he does not pay, and that's always responsibility to hang on to that. And that's the next line. Trefa atzmo lo yishalem, but he does not pay the torn animal itself. Now how in the world did Gemara do all that? That's definitely not what the pasuk said. Pasuk did not say, remember, what did the pasuk say? Pasuk said, Im tarof yitarev, Yud Beis, 12. Im tarof yitarev yivel eight. Stop. Esnachta. Finished. Hatrefa lo yishalem. You don't have to pay for the trefa. He's learning it. No. We take the word eight means ad. Ad hatrefa. Normally you pay ad hatrefa. Up to but not including the carcass. And in this case, he doesn't have to pay for it at all. It's all kinds of interesting ways of manipulating the pasuk. He's manipulating the pasuk. So let's look in the footnote that describes how he's able, what's the license to manipulate the pasuk, footnote 27. The Gemara here interprets the verse as follows. Im tarof yitaref, if the animal is torn to death by a wild beast because of the negligence of the paid custodian entrusted with its keeping, right? If it was, im tarof yitaref, right? Im tarof, but it's saying, because of his negligence, he's adding negligence, then, yivyehu, you bring him, the custodian, you bring him, at hatrefa, until the trefa. Yivyeh, you bring him until the trefa. He shall produce, the custodian shall produce, in other words, pay compensation only until the value of the torn animal. Right. But lo yishalem, however, for the torn animal itself,
he doesn't pay.
He does not pay.
Right.
Okay? In this exegesis, the word ayin dalet is rendered ad, to say until, rather than aid, the more obvious meaning. So look how he reasoned. Now, there's the simple way of reading the verse. Oh, wrong one. Simple way of reading the verse, and the different way. The simple verse was, im tarof yitaref, if it was ripped up, yivyehu eid, he brings a witness, the witness says, it's so, hatrefa l'shem, he doesn't have to pay for the trefa. Here, and we'll have to discuss tomorrow still why he was allowed to do this, but let's at least try to understand what he's saying. He's saying, im tarof yitaref, if it was ripped up, and he was negligent, Yivieu, he has to bring, we bring the custodian ad until to pay ad hatrefa, until the value of the carcass, but the carcass itself, lo yishalem, he doesn't have to pay for the carcass itself. So what does that mean? You pay up to the value of the carcass and not. Now, how the Gemara had the right to take a simple pusik and turn it on its head, that we're going to deal with tomorrow.
If you were laying that, you said odd.
You have to lay it the way we have it here. You have to read it this way.
So
but the rabbis are saying there's a second meaning to the, it's a second layer to the pusik. Now, we have to discuss tomorrow what their license was for the second layer. Now, just quickly, just look at the notes here, quickly, and this is the question. Now you see the central issue. Who retains the carcass after an animal is killed? Is the carcass included in the overall payment? Right? So the Mishnah says, one who is responsible to pay for the damage, we inferred, the Mishnah does not say one who is responsible for the damage, rather one who is responsible to pay for the damage. This teaches like the following brisa. Payments for his damage teaches that the owner of the animal that was killed takes the carcass and he receives the difference in the value of a live animal carcass. Question of understanding. What's the source for this? Answer one. We read, one who strikes an animal, yishalmenu, we read it as yashlimenu, will complete it to pay the decreased value. Answer number two of Rav Kahana, he will bring ed, a witness, the treif will not pay. We read this at, up to the difference in a live animal and a treifa, he will pay. For the treifa itself, he need not pay, rather gives back the treifa. Okay, how he does that, that's what we gotta talk about tomorrow.